Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In times like these, it can be difficult to know what's true. Culture is in constant flux. Information moves faster than ever before. Communication happens in an instant. It feels like everyone these days wants to tell us or sell us what we're supposed to believe. A dozen people can tell you a dozen conflicting things and back them up with a dozen different passages from the Bible. People will justify anything with scripture, destruction and oppression and war, and do so eagerly. J. Holmes' poem, God is a Capitalist, has been stuck in my head all week now, and I think it sums up half the equation well, so let me share. God's on Spotify now. God's on YouTube. God's on Netflix. God is doing a series on Amazon Prime. God is a capitalist. God cuts down forests to print Bibles. God puts palm oil in the bake sale. God wraps plastic around the hosts. God wants injustice instead of protests. God wants nukes and executions. God kills the innocent and says they're guilty. God hates kindness and calls it weakness. God sings hymns based on sermons, based on books, based on Bibles, based on old mistranslations. God got lost in this translation. When I was a child, I remember how the bits of the Bible that talked about foundations sounded so easy. Build on the rock, not on the sand. Awesome, thank you, case closed. Love an easy parable. The problem in my experience is that a house built upon rock can still crumble. There are a million things that can destroy a building besides a flood or unsteady ground. And we live in a world rife with turmoil. These are times that test a person's faith, the trials that come from both within and without. We see dealers of death claim their actions are Christian, yes, but we also see our own actions cause unintentional harm. In the context of a more diverse, globally connected society, we're having to reckon with issues lurking within our own faith as well. Either tearing down old practices which cause harm or watching beliefs crumble in the face of previously unknown truths. An easy example close to home is the Mennonite Church USA reversing their position on LGBTQ issues to an affirmative one a few years ago, recognizing the prior damage done and the failure to live out an ethos of genuine love. Another is the groundswell of Mennonites taking public action in defense of Palestinian lives, despite a history of keeping far away from the political. Or heck, seeing the shift within parts of the Mennonite church from requiring baptism upon confession of faith to acknowledging previous infant baptisms when incoming members claim such as their own. None of those changes happened without a lot of work. Even Mennonite action, as quickly as the group sprung up, has struggled at length with the intersections of politics, tradition, and theology. These are difficult conversations to have, difficult issues to work through. Interrogating a genuine belief with any nuance will rarely supply an easy answer. Theology is an ever-evolving beast, a chimera of time and place and circumstance that only ever seems to grow more and stranger limbs. Churches split. Denominations break apart and rejoin in new combinations. Whole religions splinter. And the ones which remain are ever adapting to the churning river of time. The world changes. And our beliefs are challenged in response. This has always been hard, friends. This has always tried our faith. I think it was David Kramer a few weeks ago who said, "This has always been a wrestling. We interpret and learn and interpret and get it wrong and learn and interpret again." I have a good friend whose childhood home was built during the Great Depression, up on a steep slope in the Appalachians. In lieu of traditional building materials, the upper portions of the house are built from decommissioned boxcars. It's hardly a tried and tested architectural strategy, but they use what was available out of necessity and built with care. Many years after the initial house was built, a garage was added on. That portion is framed and built traditionally with standard materials, but the ground wasn't properly firmed up before the foundation was laid. And so, for decades, the garage has slowly but surely separated from the house and started to slide down the hill. It's the opposite of what you'd expect looking at it. The old makeshift house has stood for nearly 100 years and on a solid foundation. The new, properly built garage hides deep structural issues. So the question becomes, how on earth do we tell the difference? We're not the first builders to work these grounds, and neither will we be the last. We follow in the footsteps of all who have come before us, part of a lineage that stretches back millennia. Others hammer and saw at distant parts of the structure, but we stand here, interpreting or inheriting both the tools of our Anabaptist forebears and the work they've left us to carry on with. Menno Simons prefaced all his writings with 1 Corinthians 3:11, today's scripture. And with good reason, that verse is central to how Anabaptists interpret the Bible, and part of what set them apart from the Catholic and Reformed churches. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus' life is our central canon, our interpretive key. And simple as that may sound, in practice, it's deeply radical. If Jesus Christ is the foundation of our understanding, that means that when we go looking for answers, we don't turn, as Menno Simons vehemently writes, to strange cornerstones such as popes, councils, doctors, doctrines, and commandments of men. Rather than leaning on tradition or popular opinion or intellectual debate, we come back again and again to the source, to the text of the Gospels as a community. There is no rigid foundational doctrine because there can be no other foundation. Everything mortal is built atop. If we need to test an interpretation, whether our own or others, it's against the life and love and teachings of Christ, not any earthly authority, that we weigh our scales. Of course, any interpretation is colored by our own lives, our biases and culture, the limitations of our knowledge. We do the best we can with the material we have, with boards and boxcars if need be, because the work is important, but neither is it a foundation. That's not our job. Everything we create is a work in progress. Everything we build is subject to refashioning. Even construction which seems complete and long established needs care. Time takes its toll. These walls need maintenance. What was once a load-bearing theological pillar finds itself cracking beneath the weight of a changed society. There's a leak in the ceiling from old pain left to fester. We'll need to tear back the drywall and replace plumbing that's centuries outdated. Except it turns out we actually share part of the plumbing with the next door neighbors, and we'll first have to come to an agreement about how to resolve that problem. And all of that is just before the storm rolled in. The rain has started to come down now. Our work has been made all the harder, and beliefs we thought were unshakable have started to show their flaws. I say this not as pessimism, but to offer a reassurance. I know many of us can hear the thunder in the distance and are eyeing the unfinished roof nervously. I know that some of us are, right now, finding our faith tested by the winds. But these walls have been built and altered and demolished hundreds of times before we were ever born. And there are many hands waiting to pull us up to shelter when our own belief starts to bow beneath the load. Hands ready to help us rebuild, if it comes to that. And I say that from experience. I'm still rebuilding myself. Our work may not always be perfect, and it may not always last. But the foundation has been laid by hands much older and wiser than our own, by the same hands that laid the foundations of the world itself. It will survive the storm. It will survive our doubts. What we build is neither the first nor the last structure to stand on these stones. We work with the gifts of those who have come before, learning from what stood the tests of their own time, and reclaiming raw materials from the rubble of what didn't. So when the storm clears, we'll patch and we'll replace. We'll pull down what no longer serves us to make room for something better. And then we design anew. Vibrant, beautiful visions of what this body might become. Amen.